Ladies and gentlemen, we are in for a very special treat this hour. Wendy Spurgeon here with extra special help from Chris Wellman at Mystic Way Productions. I have had the distinct pleasure of teaching an online acting class for Aldo Leopold Charter School this semester, and some of our class has recorded a very special radio play for you called Mad Tea Party. The cast includes Zaya Pearson as the narrator, Isla Werber as Alice, Key Glover as the White Rabbit, Inocencia Casales as Caterpillar, Marley Convery Morales as the Cheshire Cat, Tennille Solberg as the March Hare, Maya Ari Gomez as the Dormouse, and Mia Riley as the Mad Hatter. Enjoy.
When our story begins, Alice has already been through so many curious adventures.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Ever since she suddenly found herself falling helplessly down, 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 a very deep rabbit hole into a strange world.
Dear, dear, how queer everything is today.
A world filled with the most eccentric creatures. A singing white rabbit with a waistcoat pocket watch.
How does the little crocodile improve his shining tail and pour the waters of the Nile on every golden scale? How cheerfully he seems to grin. How neatly spreads his claws and welcomes the little fishies in with gently smiling jaws.
A nasty-tempered old duchess who shook her baby so violently it turned into a pig. Hookah-smoking caterpillar who demanded to know of Alice.
Who are you?
I hardly know, sir. Just at present. At least I know who I was when I got up this morning. But I think I must have been changed several times since then.
What do you mean by that? Explain yourself.
I can't explain myself, I'm afraid, sir. Because I'm not myself, you see.
I don't see.
I'm afraid I can't put it more clearly, for I can't understand it myself to begin with. And being so many different sizes in a day is very confusing.
It isn't.
Well, perhaps you haven't found it so yet. But when you have to turn into a chrysalis, you will someday, you know. And then after that into a butterfly. I should think you'll feel it a little queer, won't you?
Not a bit.
Well, perhaps your feelings may be different. All I know is it would feel very queer to me.
You? Who are you?
I think you ought to tell me who you are first.
Why?
Here was another puzzling question, and as Alice could not think of any good reason, and as the caterpillar seemed to be in a very unpleasant state of mind, she turned away.
Come back, I have something important to say.
Yes? Well?
Keep your temper.
Is that all?
No. So you think you're changed, do you?
I'm afraid I am, sir. Can't remember things as I used. And I don't keep the same size for 10 minutes together.
Can't remember what things?
Well, I've tried to say how doth the little busy bee, but it all came different.
Recite, you are old Father William.
You're old Father William, the young man said, and your hair has become very white. And yet you incessantly stand on your head. Do you think at your age it is right?
In my youth, Father William replied to his son, I feared it might injure the brain. But now I'm perfectly sure I have none, why I do it again and again.
You are old, said the youth, and your jaws are too weak. For anything, tougher than suet. Yet you finished the goose with the bones and the beak. Pray, how did you manage to do it?
In my youth, said his father, I took to the law and argued each case with my wife. And the muscular strength which it gave to my jaw has lasted the rest of my life.
"You're old," said the youth, "as I mentioned before, and you have grown most uncommonly fat."
"That is not said right."
"Not quite right, I'm afraid. Some of the words have got altered."
"It is wrong from beginning to end. What size do you want to be?"
"Oh, I'm not as particular to size. Only one that doesn't like changing so often, you know."
"I don't know. Are you content now?"
"Well, I should like to be a little larger, sir, if you wouldn't mind. 3 inches is such a wretched height to be."
"It is a very good height indeed."
"But I'm not used to it."
"You'll get used to it in time."
Alice left the caterpillar, confused as ever, and wondering what could possibly happen next. Alice now found herself walking through a wood. When she was a little startled by seeing the Cheshire Cat sitting on a bough of a tree a few yards off, the cat only grinned when it saw Alice. It looked good-natured, she thought. Still, it had very long claws and a great many teeth, so she felt that it ought to be treated with respect.
"Cheshire Puss, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?"
"That depends a good deal on where you want to get to."
"Oh, I don't much care where."
"Then it doesn't matter which way you go."
"So long as I get somewhere."
"Oh, you're sure to do that only if you walk long enough."
Alice felt that this could not be denied, so she tried another question.
"What sort of people live about here?"
"In that direction lives the Hatter, and in that direction lives the March Hare. Visit either you like. They're both mad."
"But I don't want to go among mad people."
"You can't help that. We're all mad here. I'm mad. You're mad."
"How do you know that I'm mad?"
"You must be, or you wouldn't have come here."
Alice didn't think that proved it at all. However, she went on.
"And how do you know that you're mad?"
"To begin with, a dog's not mad. You grant that?"
"I suppose so."
"Well then, you see, a dog growls when it's angry and wags its tail when it's pleased. Now, I growl when I'm pleased and wag my tail when I'm angry. Therefore, I'm mad."
With that, the cat vanished quite slowly, beginning with the end of the tail and ending with the grin, which remained some time thereafter the rest of it had gone.
"Well, I've often seen a cat without a grin, but a grin without a cat, it's the most curious thing I ever saw in my life."
Alice waited a little, half expecting to see it again, but it did not appear. And after a minute or two, she walked on in the direction in which the March Hare was said to live.
"I've seen hatters before. The March Hare will be much the most interesting. And perhaps, as this is May, it won't be raving mad. At least not so mad as it was in March."
She had not gone much farther before she came in sight of the house of the March Hare. She thought it must be the right house because the chimneys were shaped like ears and the roof was thatched with fur. It was quite large and formidable, and she walked up towards it, rather timidly saying to herself,
"Suppose it should be raving mad after all. I almost wish I had gone to see the Hatter instead."
There was a table set out under a tree in the front of the house, and the March Hare and the Hatter were having tea at it.
The sun was shining on the sea, shining with all his might. He did his very best to make the billows smooth and bright.
"Excuse me."
And this is odd because it was the middle of the night.
A dormouse was sitting between them, fast asleep, and the other two were using it as a cushion, resting their elbows on it and talking over its head.
"Very uncomfortable for the dormouse. Only, as it's asleep, I suppose it doesn't mind."
The table was a large one, but the three were all crowded together at one corner of it.
The moon was shining silkily because she thought the sun had got no business to be there after the day was done.
"It was very rude of him," she said, "to come and spoil the fun."
"Excuse me."
The sea was as wet could be. The sands were dry as dry. You could not see a cloud because no cloud was in the sky.
No birds were flying overhead. There were no birds to fly.
"Please."
"No room, no room."
"There's plenty of room."
"Have some wine."
"I don't see any wine."
"There isn't any."
"Then it wasn't very civil of you to offer it."
"It wasn't very civil of you to sit down without being invited."
I didn't know it was your table. It's laid for a great many more than three.
No room, no room.
Your hair wants cutting.
You should learn not to make personal remarks. It's very rude.
Why is a raven like a writing desk?
Come now, we shall have some fun now. I'm glad they've begun asking riddles.
I believe I can guess that.
Do you mean you think you can find out the answer to it?
Exactly so.
Then you should say what you mean.
I do. At least I mean what I say. It's the same thing, you know.
Not the same thing a bit. Might just as well say, I see what I eat is the same thing as I eat what I see.
You might just as well say that I like what I get is the same thing as I get what I like.
You might as well say that I breathe when I sleep is the same as I sleep when I breathe.
It is the same thing with you. What day of month is it?
The Hatter had taken his watch out of his pocket and was looking at it uneasily. Shaking it every now and then and holding it to his ear, Alice considered a little weird and then said,
The fourth.
2 days wrong. I told you butter wouldn't suit the works.
It was the best butter.
Yes, but some crumbs must have gotten as well. You shouldn't have put it in with the bread knife.
The March Hare took the watch and looked at it gloomily. Then he dipped it into his cup of tea and looked at it again. But he could think of nothing better to say than his first remark.
Was the best butter, you know.
Alice had been looking over his shoulder with some curiosity.
What a funny watch. It tells the day of the month and doesn't tell what o'clock it is.
Why should it? Does your watch tell you what year it is?
Of course not. But that's because it stays the same year for such a long time together.
Which is just the case with mine.
Alice felt dreadfully puzzled. The Hatter's remark seemed to have no sort of meaning in it, and yet it was certainly English.
I don't quite understand you.
The Dormouse is asleep again,
said the Hatter, and he poured a little hot tea upon its nose.
Of course, just what I was going to remark myself.
Have you guessed the riddle yet?
No, I give up. What's the answer?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Nor I.
I think you might do something better with the time than wasted in asking riddles that have no answers.
If you knew time as well as I do, you wouldn't talk about wasting it. It's a hymn.
I don't know what you mean.
Of course you don't. I dare say you've never even spoken to time.
Perhaps not, but I know I have to beat time when I learn music.
Ah, that accounts for it. He won't stand beating. Now, if you only kept on good terms with him, he'd do almost anything you'd like with the clock. For instance, suppose it were 9 o'clock in the morning, just time to begin lessons. You'd only have to whisper a hint to time, and round goes the clock in a twinkling. 1:30, time for dinner.
I only wish it was.
That would be grand, certainly. But then I shouldn't be hungry for it, you know.
Not at first, perhaps, but you could keep it at 1:30 as long as you'd like.
Is that the way you manage?
Not I. We called last March, just before the hare went mad. You know, it was at the great concert given by the Queen of Hearts, and I had to sing, Twinkle, twinkle, little bat, how I wonder what you're at. You know the song, perhaps?
I've heard something like it.
It goes on, you know, in this way. Up above the world you fly, like a tea tray in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle.
Here the Dormouse shook itself and began singing in its sleep.
Twinkle, 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 twinkle.
It went on so long that they had to pinch it to make it stop.
Well, I hardly finished the first verse when the Queen jumped up and bawled out, He's murdering the time! Off with his head!
How dreadfully savage.
And ever since then, he won't do a thing I ask. It's always 6 o'clock now.
A bright idea came into Alice's head.
Is that the reason so many tea things are put out here?
Yes, it is. It's always tea time, and we've no time to wash the things between whiles.
Then you keep moving round, I suppose.
Exactly so. As the things get used up.
But what happens when you come to the beginning again?
Suppose we change the subject? I'm getting tired of this. I thought the young lady tells us the story.
I'm afraid I don't know one.
Then the Dormouse shall.
Wake up, Dormouse.
And they pitched on both sides at once. The Dormouse slowly opened his eyes.
I wasn't sleeping. I heard every word you fellows were saying.
Tell us a story.
Yes, please do.
And be quick about it, or you'll be asleep again before it's done.
Once upon a time, there lived three little sisters. Their name were Elsie, Lacey, and Tilly. They lived in the bottom of a well.
What did they live on?
They lived on pudding.
They couldn't have done that, you know. They'd have been ill.
So they were very ill.
Alice tried to fancy to herself what such an extraordinary way of living would be like, but it puzzled her too much.
But why did they live at the bottom of a well?
Take some more tea.
I've had nothing yet, so I can't take any more.
You mean you can't take less? It's very easy to take more than nothing.
Nobody asked your opinion.
Who's making personal remarks now?
Alice did not quite know what to say to this, so she helped herself to some tea and bread and butter, and then turned to the Dormouse and repeated her question.
Why do they live at the bottom of a well?
The Dormouse again took a minute or two to think about it.
It was a pudding well.
There is no such thing.
If you can't be civil, you better finish the story off yourself.
No, please go on. I won't interrupt again. I dare say there may be one.
One indeed. And so these three little sisters, they were learning to draw, you know?
What did they draw?
Pudding.
I want a clean cup. Let's all move one place on.
He moved on as he spoke, and the Dormouse followed him. The March Hare moved into the Dormouse's place, and Alice, rather unwillingly, took the place of the March Hare. The Hatter was the only one who got any advantage from the change, and Alice was a good deal worse than before, as the March Hare had just upset the milk jug onto his plate. Alice did not wish to offend the Dormouse again, so she began very cautiously.
But I don't understand. Where did they draw the treacle from?
You can draw water out of a water well. So I should think you could draw a treacle out of a treacle well. Eh, stupid?
But they were in the well.
Of course they were. Well, in. They're learning to draw, and they drew on many of things. Everything that began with an M.
Why an M?
Why not?
Alice was silent. The Dormouse had closed its eyes by this time and was going off into a doze, but on being pinched by the Hatter, it woke again with a little shriek and went on.
That began with an M, such as mousetrap and the moon and memories and muchness. You know, you say things as much of a muchness. Did you ever see such a thing as a drawing of muchness?
Really, now that you ask me, I don't think...
Then you shouldn't talk.
This piece of rudeness was more than Alice could bear. She got up in great disgust and walked off. The Dormouse fell asleep instantly, and neither of the others took the least notice of her going. Though she looked back once or twice, half hoping that they would call after her. The last time she saw them, they were trying to put the Dormouse into a teapot.
At any rate, I'll never go there again,
said Alice as she picked her way through the wood.
That's the stupidest tea party I ever was at in all my life.
Just as she said this, she noticed that one of the trees had a door leading right into it.
That's very curious. But everything's curious today. I think I may as well go in at once.
And in she went. Thank you. Another cup of coffee, Sally?
I better not, Martha.
Oh, I thought you liked my coffee.
Oh, I love it, it's just...
What is it?
Coffee stains my teeth something dreadful. I don't want anyone to see my smile anymore. It's so embarrassing.
Why, Sally, I've got just the thing. It's Pearly White's toothpaste.
Pearly White's toothpaste?
It will get rid of those coffee stains in a jiff. Just brush your teeth with Pearly White's toothpaste twice a day and you'll have the prettiest smile in town.
Really, Martha?
There's nothing better for getting your teeth their whitest. My dentist recommended it to me. Trust me, I've used it for years and it truly works.
I've always wondered how you keep your teeth so bright, Martha.
My husband and the children brush with Pearly White's toothpaste too. They love the fresh minty flavor.
Where can I buy Pearly White's toothpaste?
Oh, every drugstore carries it. If I were you, I'd buy two or three tubes for the whole family. You won't regret it. Sally, where are you going?
To the nearest drugstore to buy Pearly White's toothpaste. You're a lifesaver, Martha.
Coffee again next week?
You bet.
Pearly White's toothpaste is the only toothpaste you and your family will ever need. It contains fluoride to prevent cavities and is recommended by most dentists across the country. With our patented sparkling crystals to polish away stains, you'll have the best and brightest smile around. Brush twice daily and soon you'll have Pearly White's with Pearly White's toothpaste. Go get some today!
Yay! Didn't they do an awesome job? I'm so proud of these talented students and their contributions. Our next radio play features many regulars from Silver City Community Theater, as well as a guest artist zooming in her voice from Portland, Oregon. It's a classic Father Knows Best episode, The Housekeeper. This one originally aired on June 22nd, 1950. Our homage includes Mia Riley, you just heard her as the Mad Hatter, as Kathy, Mel Gelb as the announcer, Shelley Chase as Margaret, Greg Jurette as Jim, Sarah Thrasher as Betty, Monty Valenzuela as Bud, our special guest Beth Ricketson as Mrs. Collins, the housekeeper, Jim McQuaid as Harry, and Phyllis McQuaid as Grace. Enjoy Father Knows Best.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, and starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The coffee that's always good to the last drop. Extensive research has proved conclusively that there are two kinds of husbands. One, the husband who takes absolutely no interest whatsoever in household affairs. And two, the husband whose wife wishes he'd mind his own business and leave things alone. In Springfield, in the white frame house on Maple Street, Jim Anderson is about to demonstrate that there is no happy medium. Like this.
Six goes into 36 six times. Six goes into 42 seven times. Six goes into 48 eight times.
Kathy, why don't you stop that? You know Mother has a headache.
But I have to learn my six goes intos.
Margaret? Margaret, could I have another cup of coffee, please?
Of course, dear. Bud, stop banging your feet on the table.
I wasn't banging my feet, Mom. I was just... Holy cow, look at the time. I gotta go. Come on, Squirt.
Stop hauling me.
See you later, everybody.
Bud, don't slam the door.
Did you call me, Dad?
Never mind.
Okay.
Mother, why don't you lie down for a while? I'll take care of the dishes.
That's very sweet, Betty, but it isn't necessary.
All right. I'll come right home in case you need me for anything.
All right, dear.
Goodbye, Father.
Goodbye, Betty. Your head's still aching, honey?
Oh, it's really nothing, Jim. I don't know why everyone makes such a fuss over a little headache. You'd think I were dying.
Margaret.
Yes, dear?
You know, you haven't been looking very well lately.
Well, that's a pleasant way to start the day. How to cheer up your wife in 6 easy lessons.
I don't mean you look that bad. I mean, you just look so tired.
Jim, dear, in 5 years, I'll be 40. Then you can swap me in for 2 20s.
Margaret, I'm being very serious about this. If you want to treat it as a joke.
All right, dear, I'll try and be more respectful.
Oh, well, where was I?
You were telling me I look like an old hag.
Oh, well, that's not what I said at all.
I'm sorry, a young hag.
Margaret, I'm merely trying to be helpful. I think I know why you're tired, and I believe I have the answer to the whole problem.
You're going to shoot the children?
Well, that had occurred to me, but I think I have a better idea. What you need is a housekeeper.
Oh, Jim, don't be ridiculous.
I don't see anything ridiculous about it at all. The Gilroys have a housekeeper, and I sell 3 times as much insurance as he does.
It's not a question of how much insurance you sell. We don't need a housekeeper. And where would she sleep? Or haven't you thought of that?
Of course I thought of that. She can sleep in the den, in the rollaway bed.
Jim, I don't want a housekeeper.
Then, when people like the Edwards come over for dinner, there wouldn't be all the fuss and worry.
Jim?
Yes, dear?
Who are the Edwards?
Harry and Grace Edwards. You remember them, don't you? We met them at the Hathaways last week. He's the little stocky fellow with the red face, president of the Chamber of Commerce. Remember?
And they're coming to dinner when?
Tomorrow night. Didn't I tell you? I could have sworn.
Jim, is there any connection between the Edwards and this sudden passion for a housekeeper?
Of course not. I just thought, well, you've been working so hard and you have a headache and...
There isn't any reason for wanting to impress Mr. Edwards, is there? Or Mrs. Edwards?
Margaret, I just finished telling you the whole thing. Well, after all, Edwards is the head of the Chamber of Commerce and there's an opening on the board.
And Bert Gilroy's trying to get it.
Well, the Edwards had dinner with the Gilroys.
And the Gilroys have a housekeeper. So you thought if we blossomed forth with a housekeeper.
Margaret, being on the Chamber of Commerce is a very great honor. I certainly think it's worth a small expenditure of time and energy.
Jim?
Yes, Margaret?
No housekeeper.
Well, if you'd only listen to me rather than flying off the handle.
I'm not flying off the handle. I'm merely telling you simply, quietly, and without emotion, no housekeeper.
There was an ad in the paper only last night.
No housekeeper.
All she wanted was $75 for the month, and she'll take complete charge.
No housekeeper.
She's courteous, efficient, energetic, loyal.
No.
A wonderful cook, neat as a pin, loves children. Margaret, why don't you give her a trial?
No.
Honey, this isn't something you can decide on the spur of the moment. Why don't you think it over?
All right. I can't see any harm in that.
Good. Well, I've got to go now. I'll call you right after lunch.
All right, dear. Oh, Jim, I've thought it over.
Margaret?
No housekeeper. Is that you, Jim?
Yes, dear. I'm home. Just put your things down there for a minute, Mrs. Collins.
Okay. Nice looking place, ain't it?
It's comfortable.
The children are all upstairs, and as soon as you're ready, you will have... Well, hello.
Hi.
Margaret, this is Mrs. Collins.
Oh, how do you do?
Well, to tell you the truth, I ain't doing so good. My feet are killing me, and I got a pain in my back that I wouldn't wish on my first husband.
I see. Jim, will you come out into the kitchen with me for a moment? I'd like to speak to you.
Hey, you got a piano. Oh, that's nice. I always like a house where they got a piano. shows culture. And if there's one thing I'm just nuts about, it's culture.
Just make yourself at home, Mrs. Collins. We'll only be a minute.
Oh, that's okay. You don't have to worry about me. I got plenty of time.
Jim Anderson.
Now, wait a minute, Margaret. I can explain the whole thing.
I don't want any explanation, and I don't want a housekeeper. I told you that this morning.
But, honey, I hired her last night. I thought you'd be very happy.
Oh, I am. I'm the happiest woman in the world, and I want you to get that person out of my house.
Oh, Angel, it isn't worth quarreling about. Nothing is.
I know, Jim, but our home's too small for a housekeeper. We don't need one.
No, Margaret. Mrs. Collins can be a great help. Don't you see, Margaret? She's a diamond in the rough. Mrs. Collins is very competent. Why, in 1 year, she worked for 9 of the best families in Springfield.
Only 9? She certainly gets around, doesn't she?
Well, they just don't understand her. With a little training, she can be one of the best housekeepers in the whole town. She said so herself.
Jim, if we ever take a trip to New York, will you promise me one thing? Don't pay more than $50 for the Brooklyn Bridge.
Hey, ain't you two finished talking yet? It's getting late and I gotta get dinner rolling.
Mrs. Collins, I've been talking to my husband.
Why don't you talk to him in the parlor? It's becoming dinner time and I've got work to do. Hey, some kitchen.
Jim.
Well, all right, Margaret. Mrs. Collins, I'm awfully sorry, but we've decided that, after all, you really won't be comfortable sleeping in the den.
Oh, stop worrying about it, will you? I got it all figured out. We can move, what's your boy's name?
You mean Bud?
Yeah, Bud. We can switch him into the den. I move into his room and everybody's happy.
Well, it's not quite that simple, Mrs. Collins. I told my husband this morning.
Hey, wait a minute. When have you been eating breakfast?
Well, at 8 o'clock. But it really isn't going to make any difference because...
Well, from now on, breakfast is going to be at 7 o'clock.
Now, see here, Mrs. Collins.
Wait, Jim. This is becoming very interesting. What else, Mrs. Collins?
Well, I ain't nobody's personal maid, so everybody hangs up his own stuff. And if I find any pants hanging on the back of the chair, don't be surprised if I just chuck them out the window.
Well, don't look at me, Margaret. I don't leave my pants on the chair.
No? Go ahead, Mrs. Collins. I think I'm beginning to like the whole idea.
Well, I don't mind if you invite folks for dinner. Matter of fact, I like company, but I've got to have 48 hours notice.
That seems logical.
Wait a minute. What if it's impossible? What if somebody comes in from out of town?
Take them to a restaurant. There's lots of restaurants in Springfield.
Margaret, if you think I'm going to stand here and...
Jim, please. Mrs. Collins was talking.
Oh, that's okay. I've finished up anyway. Now, why don't you two kids just go inside and relax, and I'll start fixing up the food.
All right, Mrs. Collins. Come on, kid.
Margaret, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. If you think I'm gonna...
Jim, you heard Mrs. Collins. We've got to go inside and relax.
That's right. Take it easy. I've got everything under control.
Margaret, that woman's impossible.
Oh, I don't think so, dear. She's a diamond in the rough, remember?
Yeah, but how rough can you get? She wasn't anything like that when I talked to her last night.
Well, we'll try it for a while. That's what you want, isn't it?
Margaret, I'm going into the kitchen and fire her right now.
Why, Jim, that wouldn't be fair. She's worked for 9 of the finest families in Springfield. And with the Edwards coming to dinner.
Oh, she can't be around them.
Wasn't that the general idea? We've got to impress the Edwards. And unless I'm very much mistaken, they'll be impressed.
Oh, Margaret, every...
Hey, Jim.
Jim?
Get the kids down. Soup's on.
That was quite an about face for Mother Anderson. If only Father would have talked to her first, there wouldn't have been any argument. And the way things are going, it doesn't look like she'll brook any arguments from Father. And I don't think I'll run into any argument on this point. I say when you buy coffee, just one thing means real value. It's flavor. The flavor you get for your money. An extra flavor is what you get in our Maxwell House coffee. That wonderful, good to the last drop flavor no other coffee has to offer. No coffee but Maxwell House coffee. And here's why that's so. It's our recipe, the only recipe under the sun for that good to the last drop flavor. It calls for certain fine varieties of coffee blended together a very particular way. It's the only way, the only recipe for that famous Maxwell House coffee flavor, that extra flavor that made our coffee America's favorite brand. So today, when you really want the most in flavor for every penny you spend, Maxwell House is now more than ever your coffee buy. Just open up that familiar blue tin of Maxwell House tomorrow. See how much enjoyment, how much real value you get from the coffee that's always good to the last drop. A day has passed, as days have a habit of doing, and once again it's dinner time in the white frame house on Maple Street. This time, however, it's a special dinner with company. The children are stashed away in the breakfast nook, and a uniformed housekeeper is there to wait on the table. Mr. Edwards, president of the Springfield Chamber of Commerce, says,
"In the last 4 years, Anderson, bank clearances in the greater Springfield area have increased a total of almost 9.2%, and that's progress."
To which Jim Anderson replied,
"It certainly is, Mr. Edwards. That's progress if I ever heard it."
At which point, the new housekeeper, Mrs. Collins, observed,
"Now why don't you two stop gabbing and eat your soup?"
"Mrs. Collins, I think I smell something burning in the kitchen."
"It's your imagination, dearie. Everything's all cooked. Say, Jim."
"Yes, Mrs. Collins?"
"If it's all right, could I take off this funny-looking cap? I don't mind the uniform, but the cap's driving me nuts."
"Mrs. Collins, why don't you wait in the kitchen until we call you?"
"I can't hear anything in the kitchen. What you want to do? Talk about me? Go ahead, I don't mind."
"I think you'd better go into the kitchen."
"Okay, if that's the way you want it. You finished, Mrs. Edwards?"
"Yes, thank you."
"Look, dearie, if I was you, I'd lay off the bread. With a shape like yours, it's murder."
"Well, really?"
"Mrs. Collins, will you please go into the kitchen?"
"Okay, I can take a hint. Yell if you want me."
"I'm sorry, Mr. Edwards. You were saying something about progress?"
"I was. Oh, yes. Yes, I was, wasn't I? I think the Chamber of Commerce feels that its contribution to the progress of Greater Springfield."
"Never mind, I'll get it."
"Keep right on, Mr. Edwards. It's very interesting."
"What is?"
"Well, whatever you were going to say."
"Hello? Oh, hello, Bessie. Go ahead, folks, it's for me. What's cooking, Bess?" "Oh, yeah.
Hasn't the weather been beautiful, Mrs. Edwards?"
"I haven't noticed, really. When you're as busy as I am, you know, club work and charities."
"You don't say. Really?"
"Yes, indeed, Grace manages to keep herself pretty busy. It's getting so I have to make an appointment to see her myself."
"You don't have any children, do you, Mr. Edwards?"
"No, I'm sorry to say, Mrs. Edwards and I have never been blessed."
"All right, doll, I'll talk to you soon. Come by the house anytime." That was my cousin Bessie on the phone. She's such a scream.
I'm sure she must be, Mrs. Collins. And I believe we're ready for the next course.
You know, she was just telling me.
Mrs. Collins, we're ready for the next course.
Okay, I heard you.
Mother, when I finish my dessert, may I go over?
Kathy, you get back inside where you belong. Can't you see we got company?
Yes, ma'am.
That's the trouble with kids nowadays. They don't know their place. Shove your plate over, will you, Jim?
I'll answer it, Mrs. Collins.
What do you think you're paying me for?
That's a reasonable question, isn't it, Jim?
Okay. I'm coming. Hello?
Yes, indeed. You get a couple of kids in the house and you're...
Oh, hello, Mickey.
Yes, indeed.
I did, huh? What did it pay? $15.40? Hey, that's all right. Now listen, put $5 down on Little Jeff in the fourth at Bay Meadows. Yeah, $5 to win. Okay. Okay, Mickey, I'll give you a growl tomorrow.
Well.
Mrs. Collins has an endless assortment of talent, hasn't she, Jim?
All right, Margaret. You don't have to rub it in.
Just a little gem my husband brought home for polishing.
Mrs. Anderson, I'm afraid that we...
That's all right, isn't it? $15.40 for two. I sure can pick them, can't I? Any of you kids play the races?
Harry, I have an awful headache.
I know, dear. The way I feel, a headache would be a relief.
Mrs. Collins, if nothing more important comes up in the next few minutes, could we please have some food?
Okay. But take it from me. You're skipping a good thing if you miss Little Jeff in the fourth tomorrow.
Mrs. Collins, if you don't hurry up, we'll be ready to eat Little Jeff tonight.
Good, Jim. Okay, the roast beef is coming up.
A lovely evening, one I'll never forget.
Well, I'm sure of that.
Good night, Anderson and Mrs. Anderson. It was, good night.
Good night.
Good night, sir. Well, have to get together again real soon.
Yes, indeed, yes. Sometime soon. Good night.
Quiet, isn't it?
Margaret. I don't know what to say. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. I think that woman's insane.
No, dear. She's just, uninhibited. She likes to speak her mind.
What mind? She's got the brain of a half-witted hyena. And if she had the least bit of decency, she'd give it back.
Jim.
What?
Did you see the look on Mrs. Edwards' face when Collins told her she needed a new girdle?
Oh, that was nothing. You should have seen Edwards when she told him he could use one too.
Jim, I can't help it, but I think they're two of the stuffiest people I've ever met.
She told Edwards, she said she... Oh.
Well, everyone's having a good time, huh? That's what I like. People laughing and enjoying themselves. You live longer that way.
Mrs. Collins, I'd like to speak to you if I may.
Talks nice, don't he? Go ahead, kid.
Thank you, Mrs. Collins. I'm not usually one to complain, but...
Complain? Well, go right ahead. If you feel you got a beef coming, just spread it right out. That's the way it ought to be. Everything out in the open. All the cards right out there on the table.
Right. Now, Mrs. Collins?
No, I don't go for this stabbing in the back routine. You got any complaints? I want to hear them. It's your house. I'm working for you. Anything you don't like, all you got to do is just tell me.
How?
Jim, you'll wake the children.
You don't have to yell at me. Just talk and I'll listen.
Mrs. Collins, there are a great many things I could say. And a great many ways in which I could say them. But since all of the things I have to say and all of the ways in which I could say them add up to one and the self-same thing, I say to you now from the very bottom of my heart, you are fired.
Jim, you know, in my whole life, that's the nicest way I ever got canned. Well, I gotta go to bed.
Just a moment, Mrs. Collins. I'm afraid you don't understand. My husband fired you. You don't work here anymore.
I know. I ain't deaf. But I still gotta go to sleep.
You will not sleep here, Mrs. Collins. We want you to go away now. You're discharged. You're the most discharged person we have ever had in this house. Now, will you please pack up your things and get out?
Jim, I'm surprised at you. A smart man like you with a nice home and a nice family, you ought to know more about the law. You can't fire me. I gotta have a week's notice.
I'm giving you a week's notice. I'll pay your wages for a whole week. Only please go away.
But I like it here. It ain't just the wages, Jim. I'm supposed to get room and board.
I'll give you 2 weeks' wages.
I don't think so. You got a piano, and I can call my bookie on the phone, and it's like a vacation with pay.
Margaret?
Mrs. Collins, is there anything I can do to...
Sure. Call me when breakfast is ready. Well, good night. I'll see you all in the morning, huh?
Margaret?
Yes, dear?
When they start giving out awards to the world's prized idiot, be sure and tell them about me.
Oh, Jim, darling, you're an idiot, but you'd never take any prize.
I certainly would.
Well, I won't argue, dear. After all, Father knows best.
Father certainly plunged into that head over heels. Now, how sorry he is. It just goes to show, it always pays to look before you leap. On that score, when it comes to buying a pound of coffee, it certainly pays to look for flavor, the most flavor for every penny you spend. After all, flavor is what you're paying for. And we don't think you can beat the famous flavor we pack into every pound of Maxwell House coffee. But here's my point. Air can steal coffee flavor. And ordinary containers, like paper bags, can't prevent roasted coffee from losing flavor, whether it's ground or whole bean. That's why we make our Maxwell House fresh and flavorful from the roasting oven and carefully vacuum pack it in the familiar blue tin. It's the only way you're guaranteed coffee that's fresh and full flavored at the hour it was roasted. So be sure you get all the flavor and fragrance you pay for. Your money's worth and more. You always will with Maxwell House coffee. Always good to the last drop. This world is not so bad a world as some would like to make it. But whether good or whether bad depends on how we take it. A week's gone by, and we find Jim Anderson walking down a busy street in Springfield. The Chamber of Commerce is still dear to his heart, and he is not what you would call a particularly happy man. Like this.
Serves me right. That's what it does. Make a fool of myself in front of Edwards. Spoil my chances of getting on the board. Gosh, I wanted that spot in the Chamber of Commerce. The speeches I could have made. About important things, too. Why, I could have said things like, ladies and gentlemen, it's an established fact that everybody wants a different thing. A farm, a store, a college education for their children, or maybe, They just want to retire and go fishing. But there's one thing everybody wants, security. And there's one way, one sure way for each and every one of us to get it. Save for your independence. Buy United States savings bonds. That's what I could have told them. I could have said, buy bonds automatically if you can on the payroll savings plan or the bond a month plan at your bank. They're like cash on hand and they return your $4 for every three you invest. Buy United States savings bonds. Save for your independence and start now. Then I could have said,
I say, Anderson.
Huh? Oh, hello, Mr. Edwards. I didn't see you.
I thought of you. Weren't in any great hurry. We might take a stroll together. A little matter has come up that I'd like to discuss with you.
Why, of course, Mr. Edwards. It'll be a very great pleasure.
You know, Anderson, we never did get down to the discussion of business at your house the other night.
Mr. Edwards, I wanted to explain about that. You see...
Tut, tut, my boy. No need to explain. I understand completely. As you know, Anderson, there's a vacancy on the board of the Chamber of Commerce, and, well, it's yours, if you want it.
If I want it? Mr. Edwards, of course I want it. And thank you very much.
Oh, it's nothing, nothing at all. Tell me, Anderson, that Mrs. Collins, is she still with you?
No. We finally got rid of her this morning.
Oh, that's too bad.
I don't think we could have taken it another day. She had the whole family waiting on her hand and foot all week.
I see. You wouldn't know how I could get in touch with her, do you?
Well, I might. I think she left a forwarding address with Margaret. But why?
Well, wouldn't want this to get around, Anderson.
Of course not. I won't say a word.
Well, I followed that bit of advice Mrs. Collins gave me about little Jeff, you know, and I won $64.
Did you know that now there's instant coffee with roast-to-fresh pure coffee flavor? Instant Maxwell House. The instant coffee with the famous flavor. The happiest combination in coffee. Wonderful good-to-the-last-drop flavor combined with the convenience and thrift of coffee made instantly in the cup. Unlike most instant coffees, it's all rich, pure coffee. Nothing added. Tomorrow, try the instant coffee with the famous flavor, Instant Maxwell House. Instantly, good to the last drop. Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargee and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Don't forget membership cards for the Robert Young Good Drivers Club are waiting for you at your local NBC station. Get a man-to-man or dad-to-daughter pledge and sign up today. Be a good driver. Get your membership card in the Robert Young Good Drivers Club today. And now, until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's favorite brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop. Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Now stay tuned for Screen Guild Theater, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Thanks again, folks. We had a great time putting these radio plays together for you. And again, I want to send a special shout out to Christopher Wellman, our audio engineer at Mystic Way Productions. Thank you so much.